Hello, everybody. This is Gustavo, your host of the Enable Disabled podcast. It is my pleasure to introduce Fred Carpintero. He is coming all the way from Portugal. And Fred is a biomechanical engineer. He started a fantastic company called AdaptTech, which is really focused in on helping people who wear prosthetics in their lower limbs. It has a really interesting scanning technology. It's analyzing the different pressures in the socket, which really helps for comfort and better fit and a better experience overall. Just a quick description of myself. I am Brazilian. I have short black hair combed to the front. I'm sitting in my conference room and I have a black polo shirt on. Fred, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Hi, Gustavo. Nice to be here. Really glad to be here.
Absolutely. I have a lot of questions for you, but I really like this insight that you had when you were going to school. You were getting your engineering degree. You did some research for an imaging company. What helped you realize this gap in the market that so many people are concerned with solving for, you know, curing the disease or curing the disability rather than trying to make the people's lives better and, you know, more livable, more adaptable, so that we can function better throughout our lives? When did that insight first come to you?
It was several things throughout the degree and even before went to university, but one of the things that made most difference to me on that was my grandparents. So my grandmother, she has Parkinson. My grandfather, he had some heart condition that would cause him to shake a lot, and I saw with my grandfather that the problem of shaking, not being able to eat by himself, not being able to drink coffee, had a huge impact on his life. He stopped going to the coffee to see his friends. He stopped having a social life and getting out of the house just because he was embarrassed by not being able to do things by himself. He wasn't able to play cards with his friends. He wasn't able to drink coffee by himself. And that had a huge impact on his life. So if we think about it, if we could find a solution for that specific symptom of the health problems he had, it would have been a huge transformation on his life, and it would have made him a lot happier than what it was in these final days. So that's one of the main drivers. It was understanding that sometimes the solution to very simple problems can have a huge impact on people's lives.
Absolutely. It's very true. And it's interesting that you had that experience, because oftentimes we've had plenty of people here on the show where with chronic illness or with various kinds of disabilities, and it's not always about the cure. It's about making our lives better so that we can function, we can live, we can prosper, we can give back, you know, we can work, do whatever it takes. So when you first started doing the research in the bioimaging space, is that when the idea started to form? Like, how did you think of, you know, lower limb prosthetics as a potential solution? What drove you there?
So when I joined the engineering degree that I was doing, I was always very curious about the bionic hands and the prosthetic limbs, because I always find it impressive, the ability to replace something that is no longer there and try to do it with as much functionality as possible. So when I was doing the degree and I was not having enough opportunities to put in practice what I was learning, I joined BioStar. That was a research group that was with PhD students mentoring master students. And I told them that I would like to work with some project related to prosthetics, because that was something that I was really interested about. And at the time, they had that challenge of being able to scan the inside of a prosthetic socket. And that's how we started. So I started working on that project. And when we got to the point of, we need to build a prototype because there is some mechanical hardware, there is some electronical hardware that we need to do attached to the software part of it. The group had no funding because it was a different type of research group. So I started going to pitch contests and to startup contests. And we started getting a lot of good feedback, and we even won some of them. And that's on the process of going to those contests, I needed to do some market research. So I started talking with people on the prosthetics market, and I started to realize that the problem was much bigger than what I thought, and that it could have a huge impact on people's lives. And that's how I started to get more into it and developing the solution further. And when I finished the degree, I decided, okay, I'll give it a shot. I'll see if I can can create a business that can try to solve these needs and use this technology to improve people's lives. And that's how it all started, pretty much.
Did you always have a, because clearly you're a talented engineer, but did you always have that entrepreneurial spirit, or was this more something that you were problem solving and you just wanted to see the solution through to the end?
I think it was a bit of both. Before going to university, every time, as even from a little kid, every time I wanted to be something as a career, I always wanted to be the one deciding the path or doing new things. So I think I always had that idea. But when I joined university during the degree, I just wanted to be an engineer. I just wanted to be able to do new things. But once I started to get into this entrepreneurship environment again and building my own business, I realized that that was what really made me happy and what I was really good at. So I stopped doing the engineering bit per se since 2017, pretty much, because I found out that I'm more talented and I'm better at doing the management side of things, on getting people on board, on moving the company forward, while giving all the conditions I can to the people that work at Adaptec that are the best engineers I know and that are really talented in what they do. So.
Can you talk a little bit? I know a lot of entrepreneurs who have a disability around the world, and a lot of them talk about how difficult it is to get funding for adaptive technology. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with that and some of the, you know, how you were able to achieve that, and, you know, some advice for future entrepreneurs who are in that space of what they can do, what resources and what your experience was like?
Yeah, getting funding, I think it's one of the biggest challenges for any startup. I think when you have hardware, it gets worse. When you're in the medical space, it's even worse. And when you're in the medical space, but in the adaptive technology space that you're usually working for a niche, it gets even more difficult because your prospective market is not that large. You talk about the problem for amputees, and most people think it's a small population, that it's not a problem that affects a lot of people because they don't see it every day. So it's a real challenge when you're trying to solve something that it's not generally known for most of the population, and it's not attractive or high-tech looking. And that makes it more difficult in terms of fundraising. And in our case, since we were in starting in Portugal, and our ecosystem, startup ecosystem, is quite young, and we have, especially on healthcare, we have a small lot of companies working in this space. Fortunately, we just had our first health tech unicorn, I think, 2 weeks ago in Portugal, which is, I think, a major step for the ecosystem. But it was really tough because of all of that. Luckily, we were supported by a program that is a partnership between the Portuguese government and the Carnegie Mellon University in the United States. And that allowed us to go to the United States and meet with a lot of people, create a lot of validation. And when we got back to Portugal, we were able to convince the only specialized health tech VC in Portugal at the time, and they invested in us. And from that point on, we started working. We got the opportunity of going into the UK and raise funds in the UK. And that made a huge difference from us because we moved to a much more mature ecosystem with a lot more funds. And since then it has become easier, but I think it's there is no magic formula on how to do it. You need to talk with as many people as possible and try to sell them your vision and always be positive and find the right match. It's pretty much finding the VC that not only has the money that you need, but that has the right fit for your project as well.
Interesting. And I'm assuming that entering these competitions and winning some of them in the beginning really helped you in those early stages to keep going?
Yeah, definitely. All these small supports and these small victories have a huge impact because it keeps you motivated. It sometimes provides you with some funding, even if it's limited, for you to keep moving. So that really helped a lot. And I think fortunately, in my case, I had the support from my parents. So I was able to work for almost 2 years spending money to do it. But I know it's not always the case. So I was very lucky on that side as well.
Absolutely. It's tricky. And it's interesting that Portugal has the government has this relationship with Carnegie Mellon. And I think that the more government support that we can get for funding those technologies and those partnerships with those key universities would be a big step in the right direction moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. I think all these small supports that we can get from the government and from the universities and from any tech partner are very useful in moving things forward and getting to the right people. Because when you start, you have no contacts, you have no money, you have nothing. So everything you can get, it's a huge step in the right directions.
When you started developing the product, I know you did some research initially. How did you go about doing that? Did you find people who had, you know, were amputees or who were using prosthetics, had them test it, get feedback from them? Can you talk a little bit about what the development cycle of it looked like?
Yes, in the beginning when we started, luckily we found a very good partner here in Porto that is actually the prosthetic clinic that where we have our offices at the moment, our R&D offices, and the owner is a prosthetist, he's an amputee, and he's also the owner of the clinic, so he has all the stakeholder roles that we needed. And we ended up doing most of the early tests with him. So he was the patient in our tests. He was the prosthetist in our tests. And he's a very easygoing person and very available. That really helped us a lot on our early days. So it helped us. That relationship with that particular clinic being so close by our offices really helped us on. Every time we did something, we immediately validated it with the end user and with patients, and we could move very fast on that development cycle of developing and testing. And that made a huge difference from us.
Interesting. So I want to talk a little bit about, I want to dive really deep into the product and also what you're developing next, but I want people to understand, as somebody who's worn a prosthesis my whole life, how I'm looking forward to trying this product. I want to get some of the local prosthetists here in the US to that I work with to pick it up, because one of the biggest challenges for me when I'm doing the prosthesis is the fit and the comfort of the socket. There's so many different pressure points. And especially when they change a material up, or, you know, you, as you're getting older, you're gaining weight, you're losing weight, your body's changing over time. There are so many variables there, and it takes, that's for me is the, it's the alignment of the prosthetic and the getting the pressure points correct. I've had, you know, so many blisters over the years. Some of the, you know, a couple of them have turned into much worse cases than that. And I think some of the prosthetists lose a little bit of patience over time because it's difficult to describe, you know, well, it's hurting right here, but it's in this area, but you don't really know how to describe what you're feeling, right? So it becomes this long guessing game, and sometimes they overcorrect, sometimes they don't do enough. You correct one pressure point and another one comes up. So I think having a visual scanner where people can see this is what's going on inside of the leg and all the points is tremendously beneficial and is gonna, it's gonna solve a lot of problems for a lot of people. Can you talk a little bit more about some of your, what are some big case studies or experiences that you've seen with that?
Yeah, I think you just mentioned the what was the biggest point for our system and one of the biggest surprises for us, because when we developed the system, we always developed it as something that could be implemented in the clinical workflow and that could be used every day by the prosthetist. That was a major concern for us. So we were very focused on, okay, is this something that will allow the prosthetist to do their job faster and better? So better results with less time and in the end with less costs for the clinic and for the patient. But the main benefit that we actually ended up seeing was a major improvement in the communication between the amputee and the prosthetist. That has been where we have seen the most value out of our system, because now with this visual platform where you can see your socket with your pressures as you're doing the tests, you have a common language that you can share. And it's much easier for the amputee to understand the concepts that the prosthetist is trying to tell, like the pistoning or any other. And it's much easier for the amputee to explain what he's feeling and where he's feeling it, because now you can see the pressures and you can relate, okay, if that zone is the red one and it's close to where I'm feeling it, I know it's there. So that has made a huge impact in the places that are using our system. That has been the main benefit we are seeing. And just one example, so one of the first patients we did in the US, it was a patient that has been an amputee for 25 years, so a very experienced amputee that's very active as well. It's a delivery driver, so he's on his feet driving every hour of the day. But he has a very particular case, because when he was amputated, the artery receded, so he has an artificial artery on the bottom of his residual limb, which is pretty much a plastic tube, because at the time it's what they used. So he can't have any pressure on that tube, otherwise it will block the blood flow and he will completely lose the sensation of the limb. And when he got to the center that day, the clinician was asking how he was, and he was saying that he was fine, that everything was okay, that he just had to take off his prosthetic a few times a day because he would feel some numbness in the limb, but he would shake it off and would be back on his feet again. Because that's one of the things about amputees, is once they get used to it, they start getting really, they start figuring out. So they start to find out very simple solutions and things like that, losing the sensation of the limb. It's not something they would worry about, and it should be, but related to everything they have been through, it stops being an important problem. So they just deal with it. And when we placed the system on that amputee, we immediately saw that he had a lot of, that the socket was loose. So he was having a lot of pistoning, which was causing intermittent pressure on that artery and losing the sensation of the limb. So that was the reason for having to take the prosthetic out every day. So we started adding more socks and testing it again until we saw, okay, you need to be using at the moment 4-ply sock to be able to have a total contact socket and no pressure on that artery. And immediately he saw visually the difference that made, and how much more comfortable it was. So even for someone as experienced, suddenly it made sense how important it was to manage the volume properly throughout the day in order to avoid those complications. And that was a very impressive case for me, because I would have thought, okay, this person knows more than anyone how we should be doing it. But it's difficult when you have no information to learn from, right? So that is where I think we have a huge impact, and it's really good.
Can you describe, so let's go through what the product is right now. There's basically a 3D scanner, right? So you're scanning the prosthetic, and that prosthetic then goes onto a computer program and an app, correct? And then you have sensors that you put on the prosthetic, and basically those sensors are collecting the data as the person is using the prosthetic throughout whatever they're doing, playing a sport, you know, going to work, et cetera. And then you're collecting that data and you're analyzing where the pressure points are all across the socket. Is that a correct explanation?
Yeah, so the system has the 3D scanner that digitizes the inside of the socket. So we get the internal shape of your prosthetic socket. And then we have the sensors that we place inside the socket, and that will connect to the wearable that you wear on the outside of the socket. That will allow us to gather both pressure and gait activity information in real time, and you can save that information. So we will be able to see the pressures changing in real time as you do different dynamic or static stances in the clinic, or you can record a certain amount, 2 to 5 minutes of gait in the clinic, and in the end the system will give you your average pressure for each of your gait phases. And this will allow you to see where are the critical points and where you should be working, either on your gait or on your alignment or even on or on the fitting. Currently, the system can only be used in the clinic. So it's a system to be used in the prosthetic clinic. But we are working in ways of developing our technology further to be something that you can use all day long outside in your normal daily living, so you get that real data of what is happening for your specific case.
Interesting. So I didn't think of the gait. So for example, you can analyze a person's gait to see what changes need to be made to the prosthetic, or maybe what exercises that person can be doing to help improve that gait, make it a little bit smoother, put a little bit less pressure on the body. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the prosthetist, by seeing the pressures in real time during the gait or the processed results, and that the good thing about recording it and see the processed results is that the prosthetist can show it and discuss it with the amputee. You can understand not only the fitting, which is the main purpose of our system, but you can also understand that if the pressure is wrong on a specific part of the gait, it might be a problem on the way you walk and not on the fitting itself. So you can understand and give suggestions to the amputee on how we should correct his gait or to have a better support. So that's also another of the benefits. And even on alignment, sometimes you can clearly see that the problem is not the fitting, is the alignment of the prosthetic, because the pressures are completely towards one side or the other. And you can see that is the alignment that is not correct. So.
That's fantastic. And again, I can't, for people who have not worn a prosthesis or don't wear one, I cannot stress enough how unbelievably important the alignment is of it. If something's off, and again, the ability to describe it to the prosthetist is not always easy to do. So to have that visual data is tremendously impactful. I'm really, really interested in trying it. I think it's a phenomenal idea.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think that especially if we look at new amputees that are just getting their first prosthetic, I can't imagine how hard it must be to explain something that you don't even know how it is supposed to feel, right? So it must be a very challenging process going through all that is already emotionally and physically painful. But then having to go through all the pain of actually getting to a good prosthetic. So I think on those cases, it might be really helpful. And in the end, the amputee feels much more involved in the process when our system is being used, because you're seeing it, you're being able to discuss it with your prosthetist and not just having to trust their word for it. So they are good at their job, but it's important that people feel included and feel like they have a saying in what is happening. So
absolutely. I mean, I'm the one wearing it. So my input, the more it's counted and the more it's heard, it makes the whole process much, much smoother. And I remember even as a kid, it was definitely more difficult to describe what I was feeling, what I was going through. To not have that data made it more, just a more time consuming, frustrating process. Also, you know, you don't know how comfortable is this socket actually supposed to feel. Am I supposed to be okay with it rubbing here or, you know, feeling pressure there? You don't know. But when you have that data now, you have a mutual foundation that you both the prosthetist and the patient can talk about and work through. It's phenomenal. Yeah.
Thank you. How
can you give us an estimate? So people have an idea. I don't know the answer to this question either. Approximately how many amputees or people who wear lower limb prosthetics are there in the world?
At the moment, the last numbers I saw in just North America and Europe, it's 6.5 million lower amputees, lower limb amputees.
So it's a lot.
It's a lot. And the recent studies show that the number is expected to double by 2050. So it's a population that is growing significantly, mostly because of the improvement in the healthcare. People with an amputation now live longer. So the population of amputees is growing a lot because of that as well. So that means you have to provide care and follow up to a lot more people. And in places like the US, where a lot of the areas are already stressed and have no way of coping with the number of amputees they need to support, it's getting really difficult because you won't have enough new prosthetists coming out to deal with the increasing number of amputees.
I've seen that it's getting harder and harder to find, for me at least, to find a good prosthetist. And that's something that the whole industry needs to shift to accommodate that demand. So this isn't just this is also more people that this is happening to in older age. I would imagine that more cases of diabetes, certain types of cancer, all of these things are requiring that. That's correct.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's those health issues are happening sooner. So people are getting their amputations sooner. That means they will live with it for longer periods, which will mean they will need to be supported for a lot more time. So there really needs to be a change in the way the system works in order to keep all these people in with a good level of comfort and being able to go back to their normal lives and work and do whatever they need to do in their daily living. So
that makes sense. I think also, Fred, you have an interesting opportunity. There's not a lot of data collected over time about what impact wearing a prosthetic has over a lifetime on a person's body, how it breaks down the body as you get older, you know, what health problems do people tend to have as they get older, wearing prosthetics for whatever, a decade, two decades, their whole lives. Since you have this data collection already, and like at least the foundation of it in place, I think it'll be really beneficial to track what happens to our bodies as we wear prosthetics over time, and how can we make them better or adjust them as we get older so that we can continue to enjoy the quality of life for a longer period of time.
Yeah, so one of the things we noticed is was exactly that, that there is very few points of data about amputees. You barely have anything. So we are really focusing on being specialized on that data acquisition, on being able to gather that data through long periods of time to start understanding better how things evolved. And hopefully, with the work is being done by other companies on giving adjustability and the capability of reacting to different activities or different stimulus for the prosthetic components. If we can merge both those things together, we can create a new way of prosthetic limbs to work, where they can react accordingly to your activity, to your fitting throughout the day, because we know that the limb doesn't have the same volume the entire day or throughout the month, and you can't be replacing your socket every month. So there needs to be a better way to do that. So that's something that we feel once we have the data and we start understanding it, we can also do something with that data and create a much better prosthetic limb.
Interesting. So is that clearly one of the goals of the company moving forward, or is there anything else that you can talk about that you're working on that you're excited about? Like what's the next stage of development?
So one of the things we are also, that we realized that is a big problem in the US is the functionality assessment of an amputee. So the way you classify in the US, you use it to K level, but the way of getting to that K level, it's quite subjective at the moment. It's it's based on a short amount of time in the clinic. So it doesn't necessarily correspond to the needs of particular individuals. So we've just announced a couple of weeks ago the partnership with Modus and their Stepwatch, and the idea is to build something that will allow you to gather data and understand exactly what are the needs for each individual and classify you based on that. So have a classification of functionality based on 1 month of data in your real environment instead of 30 minutes in the clinic. Because that way you make sure that each person has the appropriate prosthetic and with the best components they can have. And that is something we are working on at the moment and would really like to figure out in the future.
That's fantastic. I think that you could also, there's a lot of potential synergy there. You can team up with some nutritionists maybe as well to show what types of food, when you're tracking this data, right? What types of food maybe increase the volume of the leg during the day? What types of food are more anti-inflammatory? So those things, you're more comfortable throughout the day. I also think that if you can start collaborating with some Paralympic athletes, it's always interesting to study the edges, right? To see what are the most athletic, most fit prosthetic users who are pushing themselves to the limit. What are the prosthetics not doing that they could be doing better?
Yeah. That's something we are aiming to do, and one of the parts of it, of it's not only acquiring the data, but it's if you can join that data with, as you said, with a platform that can share it either with your prosthetist or your nutritionist or your physiotherapist on a daily basis, then you create a proactive health care system, right? You're being seen, and your prosthetist can call you and tell you, look, there is something wrong with your prosthetic. Please let me check what is happening, instead of waiting until you have the blisters and then you go there because you have a problem. If we have the data, we can predict a lot of those problems and fix them before they happen. And that will improve massively the quality of life for amputees as well. And if you expand on that and do it with your physiotherapist, with your nutritionist, suddenly you can set up goals, you can act on a much more controlled manner and start avoiding all these complications that are happening at the moment.
Absolutely. Are you also planning on or thinking about maybe monitoring the prosthetic itself to say, you know, hey, this prosthetic is cracking or this foot looks like it's about to break. You should go in and take care of this before, you know, you don't have a prosthesis and you can't work or function because of that?
So that's not something we are doing directly, but it's definitely something that we would like to partner with the manufacturers of feet or knees or all those components in order to do, because one of the big concepts, I think it's the interoperability of the prosthetic. So it's how can you make the components of your prosthetic work all together, right? At the moment, the prosthetist gets them to work together, but they pretty much work independently within the same device. But if you could get them to communicate and to have all that information, as you said, you could avoid that the foot would break and cause you an injury. You could be sure that the foot is working together with the ankle and together with the knee to have the best movement and the more natural movement possible, and using the optimal amount of energy instead of using a huge amount of energy just to walk. So that is one of the big concepts for the future of the prosthetic market, in my opinion, is how can you make all of these work together and react to the activities that you're doing, to your current situation, and in real time. So you're running, the prosthetic can react to be running, you're climb stairs. So just like a normal limb, right? That's the ultimate goal, is to create something that will work exactly like the regular limb.
Right, or even, or not feel, yeah, to feel like it's more an extension of yourself rather than something that you're putting on your body and is just kind of there and hopefully not something you pay attention to, right? Like for me, the best case of the prosthesis is I'm not aware of it, but it never feels like my leg.
Exactly, yeah. And that's exactly the feedback we have is for amputees, the best scenario is not to feel the prosthetic, but that shouldn't be all you're aiming to. It should be, this needs to be part of me. This needs to be something that I feel fully comfortable and fully in control. And I know that that doesn't happen in most of the cases. So,
yeah. Interesting. Do you have any advice or ideas for how we can encourage younger people to gain an interest in prosthetics or to kind of spark a curiosity there, that it seems like a field that has much more potential than we've realized so far. It's going to be just getting bigger. It seems like so much opportunity there to merge technology with healthcare and well-being. Anything that you think we should be doing more?
I think one of the steps is it's creating awareness, like what you're doing here with your podcast. It's creating similar initiatives that are not only reached by the amputee population or the prosthetist population, but that start raising interest and raising awareness within the entire population. Because I think one of the issues is that most people are not aware of the problems, are not aware of the situation. And I see that every day, every time we hire someone to come and work at AdaptTech, people don't really understand the problem until they actually start working with us and start seeing the impact it has on people's lives. So if there is a way of raising that awareness and for people to start being more conscious of it, people will be much more curious about it, because also there is a lot more innovation going on than what people think. And I think that is really interesting, when the possibility of working with that. So I think it's making it a more known field and making it a more open field, instead of something that is so contained and so specific for the people that are already in it.
Yeah, no, the raising the awareness is a I agree with you. That's a big step. There's so much potential there, and there's so much good to be done. I saw a video the other day that one of the companies that has the most advanced animatronics and natural movement in the world is Disney. They've invested incredible amounts of money into making realistic looking robots, right, for their shows, and now they're trying to experiment with them as stunt doubles so that the people don't get injured making the movies. And I always thought that Hollywood had so much innovation and technology potential there, but they're not sharing it and applying it in those directions. It would be terrific if a company like Disney could come out and actually share some of that technology in the prosthetic world to, I think, much more impactful use.
Yeah, no, I agree. And one that one company that has tried to export something like that was Open Bionics. When they start doing their low cost bionic hands and bionic limbs, and giving them the Iron Man arm or the Deus Ex arm from the video games or from the movies, and they really caught a lot of attention in the UK because of that, because they were mostly focused on children because they grow so fast. You can give them a full bionic arm, right? Because it's very expensive. But with their technology, you could. And by doing that branding, the exercise of making it a Disney arm or a hero arm, that really brought a lot of attention into their company and into the problem, because they were merging those two worlds, the world of movies and the world of cinema with the prosthetic world. And that was a huge move from their side that resulted really well. So yeah, that may be one of the things that needs to happen, is trying to raise that awareness through video games or through movies, TV shows that can really start showing those problems.
And start showing more people, start telling more stories about people with different disabilities, and start showing them as, you know, central characters, as opposed to the traditional, the villain or the person who everybody feels sorry for, right? And that we have to break away from all of these old, tired stories.
Exactly, yeah. Completely agree. I've met amputees that do the most incredible things that you would never thought possible. So I don't think I think people need to change that mindset. And it's not the population that we need to be sorry about. It's just we should be impressed for it, not the other way around. So I think that I completely agree with that.
Absolutely. I'm going to make a quick transition and then we're going to go back. But I was, you know, going through your bio, I'm just very curious. So you collect vinyl records. So you said in your bio that you're not just into music, not just a music listener, but you collect LPs and vinyls. How did you get into that? And you know, can you talk a little bit about that interest in music? It's something that I'm personally fascinated with, and my business does a lot of that. So I'm curious.
Yeah, no, I've always enjoyed music a lot since I'm little, because my father was always listening to music, either when we were doing our car travels through Europe or when I was playing and he was working in the office. So I always, since very young, I always liked music a lot. But I have no talent for it, so I don't know how to play an instrument or understand anything about music, just really like to listen to it. So I started having CDs very early and collecting them, but then things started to evolve with music, and people started having everything digitally, right, with Spotify and everything else. And the CD kind of lost its purpose, because you couldn't even play a CD anymore, either on your laptop or on anything. And I think I really liked when the vinyl started popping up again, because they people that release them have a lot more work into it. They really think about the covers and the looks and the feel of it. It ends up being more of an experience rather than just listening to music. It's a much more complete experience. And that's how I decided to starting to collect them again. And usually I go for the limited editions or the very special editions, not just the regular black vinyl. I go for things that are really special and really different.
Do you have a nice stereo system at home that you listen to them on?
I have a vinyl player from Project that has a really cool glass plate, which it gives it a nice looking to the transparent vinyls and the colored ones. And then I have a normal speaker. I'm not very demanding in terms of that. As I said, I don't understand a lot about music. It's really the whole experience and really enjoying into it.
Interesting. Okay, that's interesting. Do you have a favorite genre of music or type that you listen to, or you just like all kinds of music?
Yeah, the thing I listen mostly, it's alternative rock. It's the genre I like most, but I listen to a bit of everything. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Question for you. What have I missed in this talk so far that you feel is important to talk about?
That's a good question. I think we've talked about pretty much everything. We talked about the system. We talked about the prosthetic market. I think next year will be a year where we'll be focusing a lot on the US, and hopefully we can make our presence in the US stronger and we can start having our systems in a lot more clinics. So that's something we would really like to see, our sales in the US going up and a lot more people having access to our technology. And also we, as I said, we are partnering with and looking for partners in the industry. Because as you said, there is so much technology, and if we work together, we can make a lot more happen and a lot faster. So I think it would be good if all these new companies and old companies start being more open and working together, because in the end, I think what matters is having the best solution possible for the amputees. So I think that's something we are really looking into. And I think that's it. I think we've covered everything I'd like to talk about.
Perfect. I think I would love to stay in touch, and I will do everything that I can to help, because I think it's a fantastic technology. The mission of the company is correct, and spending time with you today, it's really that collaborative approach is so important. I think too many companies think about always just protecting their IP, or it's cheaper to develop it in-house, or it's, you know, we have to protect like these secrets, when if we can find the right partnerships with the right people, we can collaborate and accelerate everything so much more while still protecting each other enough, right? It's no... There's just more to be gained from synergy, I think, with good partners than there is working in isolation.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And there are so many things that have already been figured out and that are already very good, and people that have the best know-how. Why should you be reinventing the wheel again when you can just work with those people and do what you do best and focus on what makes you special or what makes you different? So that couldn't agree more. That should happen a lot more. And luckily we've been finding people that are on that same mindset. So I think the future is looking good at the moment for the market, and hopefully we'll be seeing a lot more new things coming on in the next years.
Fantastic. So Fred, how can people connect with you and learn more about AdaptTech and reach out with opportunities or, just to find, connect with you, learn more about you and the company?
Yeah, they can go to our website at www.adaptec.eu or to our social media on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. We always respond to everyone. So you can reach out to us through the form on our website, through chats on social media. You can send us an email to info@adaptec.eu. So anything, we try to be as available as possible, and we have a lot of material on our website to, for people to read through. We have the case studies there, we have videos, we have webinars. So there is a lot that you can learn from. And if you have any questions, just feel free to reach out and someone will be in touch and clarify all your doubts.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being here and taking the time. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to staying in touch and to having you back on the show to get more updates and to hopefully help, you know, do our part to help you guys make more of an impact here in the US.
Thank you very much for the invite. It was a pleasure to be here and looking forward to work together and to have you try our system as well. And try to get it to as many people as we can.